a preview of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, F-U-B, and this is on Gene's Corner at yava.notyahweh.com. There's a number of interesting articles that Gene has left us. One called The Rock, another is Seeing Our Creator. We'll be going to Bereshit or the Book of Genesis, the beginnings, shortly about that. Okay, and looks like we're moving along here. In a recent feast up here in the Oregon Cascades, a beautiful place where we can probably house 80 or 100 people or so, a beautiful place and fairly affordable, but beautiful, beautiful. It's on a 6 mile long lake, and yes, what a place to be here at this Feast of Unleavened Bread, or Pesach. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 here. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, "Let us therefore keep the feast, not with the old leaven of malice and wickedness." Not with old leaven, but, you know, supposed to purge out the leaven, which represents sin during this feast. So, not with the old leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Actually, in Genesis now, as Abraham here and his wife Sarai. "And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac," or Yitzhak, "went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And Yahweh appeared unto him and said, 'Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee.'" And I'm going to skip. "I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father." And so this, and Isaac went to Abimelech. "But I will make..." Yahweh said, "I'll make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. Give unto thy seed all these countries, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. And Yitzhak dwelt in Gerar." You can read more of that in Bereshit chapter 26. Which means beginnings. I don't know why these Greek words, Greek titles were given to the scriptures. For example, Leviticus is a Greek title, but the actual word is Vayikra, and it's written to all Israel, not just to Levites, as the Greek title would mislead us to think, but to all Israel, as it says there in the scriptures. Of Vayikra, "And he called." Chapter 1, verse 1, "Yahweh called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation." And speak to the Levites? No. Speak to the children of Israel and say, "If any man bring an offering," and etc. Okay, but there's the laws that pertain to the feast days of Yahweh in Vayikra, and laws that pertain to sexual purity, and purity, of course, being separate from the world's churches, from the world itself, and from the devil. And so much can be learned in there, especially in the latter chapters of Leviticus, chapter 23, and in Vayikra 23. Once again, in Bereshit, "Because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Well, this feast day of unleavened bread, we're going into now about the fourth day of the feast. In her thesis, The Rock, I will read some of this here. If one of the ladies will take over, I'm going to dub their voice in instead. "The scripture has many ways to describe our wonderful Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahweh. I will use the old King James edition of the scripture quotations, which I use daily. Most parentheses are mine. After leaving Egypt, the people came to a place called Mara. There was water there, and they could not use it because it was bitter. See Shemot, or Exodus 15. After Moses asks Yahweh for help, he was shown a tree. Moses threw it into the water, and the water was usable and drinkable. Chapter 17 of Shemot, the people came to a place called Rephidim, and there was no water for them again. The people did chide with Moses. Moses, getting irritated, he asked Yahweh, "What shall I do unto this people? They are almost ready to stone me." This time Yahweh gave him instructions we can see in one of these symbols representing the Messiah given to Israel for the future. In Exodus 17:5, Moses is told to strike the rock with a rod which he had used before to hit the river that helped them with Pharaoh. Strike the rock with a rod. In Exodus 33, verses 11 to 23, Moses said to Yahweh, "Thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found favor in my sight, unmerited favor. Therefore I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy sight, show me now the way, that I may know thee, and find favor in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And in verse 19 of chapter 33, Yahweh said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of Yahusha, not Lord, but Yahusha before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, show mercy on whom I'll show mercy." And he said, "Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." Compare that with John chapter 1, verse 18, "No man has seen Yahweh at any time." So that would even include King David and Yitzhak and King David and Abraham. "No one has seen my face, for there shall no man see me and live." The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, or the side of the Father, he has declared him. Yahweh said, "Behold, there's a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. It shall come to pass while my splendor passes by, I will put thee in the cleft of the rock." And that's verse 22. And I think we're reading from Exodus 33, verse 22. "And it shall come to pass while my splendor passes by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock and cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see the back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Sort of a play on words there. And then flipping over here to Bamidbar, or Numbers chapter 20, in verse 8, "Take the rod and gather thou the assembly, Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes, and shall give forth his water." So here he speaks unto the rock, "And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink." So you know that story, probably have maybe heard it like I have dozens or hundreds of times. That was on page 1 of Gene Lewis Ebers' thesis, The Rock. And skipping to page 3, and then I want to get on to some of the praise songs that Gene gave us, or at least revived and gave it. But anyway, page 3, King David. So you can pick these up on the website. Oh, while I'm skipping, you can read the whole thing on yahweh.com. King David spoke his last words in a song in 2 Samuel 22, and 23, chapter 22 and 3. In his song, he praised Yahweh for helping him in so many ways. Some of what he said there is in Yahweh liveth, though there is in chapter 22, 47, verse 47. "Yahweh liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the Elohim of the rock of my salvation. chapter 23, verse 2, the Spirit of Yahweh spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Yahweh of Israel spoke to me, he that rules over men must be just, ruling in the fear of Yahweh. He shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springs out of the earth by clear shining after the rain. Although my house be not so with Yahweh, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and surely, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. Kepha, or Peter, preaches about the fact that King David was not the Messiah. King David was not the Messiah, found in Maasa, Acts chapters 2 and 3. And in David's case, he had died and was buried in the sepulcher, and he is with us unto this day. His sepulcher is with us unto this day. And then in chapter 2:22, Maasa 2, David had prophesied in Psalms what is quoted there in Acts 2:29. And verse 30, David said in various Psalms, Psalm 110 and Psalm 132, which Kepha quoted and added that Yahweh had raised up Messiah from the dead. And it says, all these were witnesses. All these people were witnesses, referred to chapter 2, verse 32. And then the sin of Israel, mostly of idolatry, and secondly of Sabbath breaking. I find that in Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 25 particularly. So I'm going to keep this short and let the women take over here. And although I just was dabbling in some of Jean's studies. Jean was born in 1940 near Gulfport, Mississippi, and then her family were moved all over the U.S. during the 40s, Depression before that, 10 years before, but her dad, Washington, had to move all over the U.S. He moved to Boston. He moved his big family of seven or eight from Boston, then up to New Jersey, Cleveland, Chicago, San Francisco. And finally, after the children grew up and got married or moved away anyway, whichever the case, then Mr. and Mrs. Lewis, Jean's parents, went up to Medford, Oregon, and finished their lives there. Well, actually, they moved up to Lapine, Oregon, right in the center of central Oregon there. Okay, is that interesting or not? I hope it is. Jean was quite a historian, and she liked archaeology, and she had a number of magazines, one from The World Tomorrow, I guess, called Archaeology. A Roman Emperor's Bold Decree. Egyptian Royal Bird Watchers. A Journey to Peru's Temple of the Stone Gods. And much more there in Archaeology. Let's see. You want to know the year and month, or month and the year? I mean, I think it's the first month of 2026. Building the City of the Feathered Serpents. Another one of those great articles there. And I'm sorry I can't find it. Oh, archaeology.org. It's one place to find that. I think it was free. A really nice, expensive magazine. But some of the best things in life are free. Okay. Now to the music. And first song by Jean here talks about her experience with Yahweh. And his son Yehosha, and it deals on her experiences in being baptized in the Spirit. It says, "Does Yehosha care when my heart is rained too deeply for mirth or song, as the daylight fades into deep night shades? Does he care enough to be near? Yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When days are weary, the long night dreary, that I know my Savior cares. Second stanza, does Yehoshua care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades, it sounds like the first stanza, actually. As daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? I know he cares. Well, this is a very familiar song in the churches in the 70s and 80s and 90s. But, okay, here's one of the best ones. One of my favorites. As Gene and I would sit around the old-fashioned computer and look on the YouTube and look up some old-fashioned songs. They had a lot of bluegrass and things, but so, and then a lot of the songs came back to Jean's memory, her mind replaying these in her heart. And here's one, If We Never Meet Again. Okay, we have some incoming messages here, but I'll get to that later. So If We Never Meet Again, and I think she put this on page one of the hymnal that we had here called Church Hymns, or Church Service Hymns. And wow, that was quite a surprise to me. A month after she died, I find this great song that she left that said such wonderful, inspiring words. Such a blessing did my spouse leave for me. And here's what it says. Let's go with this here. And then we'll have to close pretty quick for this particular thing. Remember, I hope the women will be sharing and reading some of those things. You can read on the website yourself on Gene's Corner. Okay, now, I don't know how the melody goes, but I might try. If we never meet again this side of heaven, as we struggle through this world and its strife, there's another meeting place somewhere in heaven by the side of the river of life. It's New Jerusalem. Where the charming roses bloom, bloom forever. And where separation comes no more. If we never meet again this side of heaven, I will meet you on that beautiful shore. Thank you, Gene Lewis. And Gene died at 85 years old. And so she is resting with David, the King David, and the patriarchs, Abraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov. And she is in that grave. So I'm going to repeat this as we finish up. Once again, the website is www.yahweh.com. So, if we never meet again this side of heaven, as we struggle through this world and its strife, there's another meeting place somewhere in heaven by the side of the river of life, where the charming roses bloom, bloom forever, and where separation comes no more. If we never meet again this side of heaven, I will meet you on that beautiful shore. Be blessed by the word and feel his presence.